Father Anton Lilly was ordained a Jesuit priest in 1946. He was arrested by the communists a year later in Albania, just before Christmas, for promoting Christian propaganda against the government. This is what he wrote in his memoirs. He said, "On Christmas night, they hung me up with a rope. I could barely touch the ground with the tips of my toes. And after hanging there for hours and hours, I felt my body slowly failing. So I yelled out a desperate cry. My torturers arrived, pulled me down, and kicked me all over. That night, I experienced the real meaning of the cross. But along with all this pain, I also had within me the comforting presence of Jesus. At times, his support through all of my suffering was something that I can only call extraordinary." Well, Father Anton did not foresee on that terrifying Christmas night was that he was destined to spend the next 40 years in prison. 17 of them would be in solitary confinement, and 23 in a forced labor camp, where he continued his ministry among the other prisoners. He ended his memoirs by writing, "They released me in the 1989 amnesty. I was 79 years old. But I never felt resentment for those who, humanly speaking, robbed me of my life. In fact, after my release, I happened to meet one of my torturers in the street. I took pity on him and embraced him." In today's gospel, Jesus talks about the destruction of the Jewish temple and the end of the world. His disciples asked him when these things would take place, and Jesus gave them three signs to look for. The first sign was that false prophets will begin to appear. Second, terrifying things would take place on earth and in the skies. And third, Jesus said, "Before all these things take place, you will be persecuted, put in prison, and brought before kings and rulers for my sake." This will be your chance to tell the good news. Stand firm through all these things, and not a hair on your head will be destroyed. And by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Father Anton experienced trials, persecution, and imprisonment for Jesus' sake, and he used these things as a chance to tell the good news. Like Jesus, he forgave those who persecuted him, and like Jesus, he stood firm until the end. Now, we might not be around for the trials and the sufferings that will foretell the end of the world, but this much is absolutely true. All of us, every single one of us, is sure to undergo trials and sufferings at some time in our lives. Many of us have already been there, and some of us here today are there right now. Father Anton's story assures us that if we accept our trials, they can actually turn into great blessings for us as they did for him. As a result of his trials, Father Anton experienced God's presence and help as he had never experienced them before. You see, every trial that comes before us, every trial ends up making us either bitter or better, depending on how we accept it. One day in the seventh grade, John Erickson looked up at the blackboard, and all of a sudden, he couldn't see the words on it. Then his sight returned, and he was able to see again, but not as well as he saw before. And shortly afterward, his worst nightmare was realized. He learned he was going blind. God had blessed him, however, with a twin brother, and when it came time to go to high school, John stood his ground and went to school with his brother rather than attend a special school for the visually impaired. And to make a long story short, John became the president of his sophomore class. He swam, skied, sailed, and did almost everything that the other kids did. After high school, he graduated from Notre Dame and got an MBA from Northwestern University. Today, he's the vice president in charge of bond investments for one of Chicago's largest banks. He's also married and has a lovely family. See, John Erickson is virtually blind, but he's deeply grateful to God for all his blessings. One of his greatest blessings is that his challenges helped him develop a personal relationship with God through Christ. At the age of 23, he joined a Bible study group, and one day it suddenly dawned on him that Jesus was with him and had been with him all along. You know, the times that we feel our faith tested, the times we feel like crawling on the floor, these are the times when God is actually closest to us, even when we don't realize it. This is what he did for Father Anton and John Erickson, and it's exactly what he will do for us. Through Jesus, God came into our world. He came to share in all the joys and sorrows of this life. He came to know what life is like and to show us what God is like. And because he came, because he lived, because he died and rose again, he stands firmly and squarely with us in this life and reaches out to us, to you and me, when our world seems to be collapsing and falling apart. If none of this is true, if Christ did not conquer death, as the Gospels clearly proclaim, then, brothers and sisters, we're all sunk. And we are just at the mercy of whatever human, natural, or cosmic forces may come against us. And it's each man or woman for himself and the survival of the fittest. As Saint Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, if Christ is not raised, then your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiful of all men. But we know as a historical fact, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is risen. This is what makes us Christians. And so we choose to believe him and his word, especially at the times when the going gets tough. Oh, yeah, and these times are tough. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's painful. But he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He has promised to never allow us to go through more trouble than we can handle by his grace. And he promises that those who do not quit, those who keep on keeping on in spite of all that they have to endure, will one day have God the Father wipe every tear from their eyes. And the glory of what is yet to come will make the pain of this present time but a faint and fading memory. And so, in the light of all that he has promised, we do not give up. We do not call it quits. But together, as his church, we come alongside those who are hurting most. We come together to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to provide shelter for the homeless, healing for the wounded, a caring presence for the dying, and comfort and support for the bereaved. And we do this. We do this because the one we follow said clearly and unequivocally that inasmuch as we do these things for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do them for him, for us. In our time and space, right here in Lilburn, Georgia, Jesus says, not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will secure your lives. The world may be falling apart around you, but having faith in me will save you. So, brothers and sisters, yeah, we live in a broken world. We live in a world where there is suffering, pain, and sorrow, but when it comes to an end, there will be one thing. When it comes to an end, there will be Christ. And so there's no need for us to be afraid. We have nothing to fear about death or the end of the world. Even in our suffering and pain, we have nothing to fear because our hope is this. Whatever the future may hold, whatever it is, God can be trusted to see us through. And in the meantime, we must demonstrate our faith and faithfulness by doing whatever it is that God is calling us to do. We must live for today, hope for tomorrow, and rest on the promise that Jesus is coming back. But he's coming back in his due time. Amen, church.